हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So now we have Arjuna then at the palace of Indra, and Indra is then showing him all the different weapons and that. Although living amid splendor and opulence, Arjuna could not forget his brothers in the forest, and he longed to return to them. Whenever he thought of his brothers, he also remembered the circumstances that had brought them to the forest. And he remembered Shakuni, Dushasana, Duryodhana, and Karna. Arjuna had no peace. As he was equipped with one powerful weapon after another, he thought only of the inevitable battle that would take place in the future. Right? Because it's inevitable, because you know if Duryodhana, you know, tried his luck at the first gambling match, you know, and insulted to the best of his ability and all that, but at the same time Dhritarashtra turned it all around and gave everything back and asked them to, you know, forgive and all that, then the Pandavas would have just gone back to the kingdom and would have gone on. But Duryodhana couldn't tolerate that, that they, you know, in his mind worked so hard, you know, that they, you know, sat there while Shakuni rolled dice and laughed and insulted. And, you know, that insulting, it takes so much energy, you know. So he can't tolerate that they had everything and lost it. And so then he has a second gambling match. So you know, is once getting it again, he won't give it back. So that's why then Krishna makes the point is that when he comes is that, so when the point's being made is we'll go destroy the Kauravas right now when they came and visited them in the forest. And then, you know, after everyone, you know, showed their Kshatriya prowess, and Krishna said no, because Yudhishthira is, you know, going to follow the direction of his authority. But because he's accepted that path, that means there will be war. Because by doing that, then it's going to be up to Duryodhana to make his decision. And he won't give anything back. And Dhritarashtra will go with that. So that means there'll be war. Like that. So his point was, so when he says inevitable, everybody talks about the war. Every rishi, every celestial, you know, every other king, like that, they all talk about it. And Duryodhana is not worried because he figures, in 14 years, he'll amass such a great alliance that, you know, the Pandavas, what will they have? You know, five Pandavas against, you know, millions and millions of people. You know, so his idea is that they'll never win. So we'll have that prosperity eternally, right? Even though he's going to die, but whatever. No one would be able to stand against him now, right, against Arjuna, those wicked-minded men would be punished. Draupadi would be avenged, and Yudhishthira's kingdom would be recovered. When Arjuna had become adept at using all the weapons, right, because he's showing him how everything works, what are the mantras, how to send it, how to receive it, everything, so that he's perfect in it, right? Indra told him, you should go to your friend Chitrasena and learn singing and dancing from him. Right, remember, because he had that friend Chitrasena before. You know, he's also, I think, Chitrata and like this. So he has friends. And he said, you know, he's an apsara, Gandharva. He said, you should go learn from him. Like that. He can teach you music that does not exist in the world of men and is known only to the celestials. This knowledge will prove useful to you in the future. Right? So Arjuna is like, okay, Indra's saying, so then I'll do it. But otherwise, he wasn't specifically thinking, I'll learn this. Right? Because the Kshatriyas, they know that they can learn a variety of the 64 arts. Some would be very expert. So it's very common that they're expert in music and all these other aspects. So then it's not an uncommon thing that would be here. It's not that, oh, we're Kshatriyas, we don't know music. Arjuna thus learned the Gandharva skills. The Pandava did not know why Indra had requested him to study such subjects, but he was sure the god could see by divine intelligence that such knowledge would surely be helpful in the future. Right? So when he learns the Gandharva skills, that means the singing, musical instruments, and dance. The whole Gandharva Veda means music, drama, and dance. You know, drama means the dance and all these things like that. The instruments and dance. Arjuna lived in Amaravati for 5 years, thinking always of his brothers. As the time for him to leave approached, Indra summoned Chitrasena and spoke with him in private. O chief of the Gandharvas, I have seen Arjuna casting glances at Urvasi. Go to her and have her wait upon the Pandava, with all her feminine graces and skills. As you have taught him all the arts of music, so now you should teach him the art of associating with women. Chitrasena said, so be it, and went at once to Urvasi and described Arjuna's many virtues. Right? Because the point is as an apsara, she's going to spend time as a society girl with Arjuna, then she should be inspired, otherwise like that, because she sees how great his qualities, how sweet, because they're in the heavenly planets, so only good qualities are inspiring. So when she hears how he has great good qualities and everything like that, then she'll be, you know, she'll really have a nice attitude, that interact nicely and everything like that. So this is Chitrasena. Oh, lady of fair hips, know that I have come here on Indra's command to ask from you a favor, right? Because in here you're asking a favor, but that means they owe you something. And so then it always has that aspect of that favors. It's not like, oh no, another favor, you know, you have to do something, because it goes both ways. You're not talking about people who always ask favors but never give anything. But here it always goes both ways. So then, you know, you do a favor and then he will give some, you know, some special consideration. There is now one living in heaven who is renowned among men for his grace, behavior, beauty, vows, and self-control. He is famous for his might and his prowess, and he is respected by the pious. Right? Oh, notice also he says, oh, okay, good qualities, who is this? So it creates this whole interest and all that. And he is respected by the pious. He is also endowed with presence of mind, is a genius. Because genius means you can figure in a situation what should be done, the practical points. And possesses great energy. That mighty hero is forgiving and without malice. Right? So then if he's forgiving, then whatever someone does, he can adjust with it. And he doesn't have envy, and he won't. If somebody does something he doesn't like, he's not going to attack back. So these are all what's mentioned here, qualities that women very much appreciate. They're refined, that means they can interact nicely, they're very personal. He knows all the Vedas with their many branches, is devoted to his elders, you know, so he's respectful, is never boastful, sees even small things as if they were important, and is always the shelter of his dependents. His name is Arjuna, and his father, Indra, brought him to heaven. O blessed lady, Arjuna seems inclined towards you. Please go to him and allow him to obtain you. Urvasi cheerfully replied, having heard of Arjuna's virtues, how could I fail to be attracted? Indeed, thinking of that hero, I am already stricken by the god of love. O Chitrasena, go now wherever you like, and I shall go to him. Right, so she's saying, you go wherever you like means you don't have to worry about it. I'll take care from here. Otherwise, he may think, okay, I have to take you there or something like this. Having succeeded in his mission, the Gandharva left. Right, because otherwise you might think, oh, he's a mortal, it's not, why would I be involved with a mortal? But, you know, so now he's happy that Indra wanted this done, this arrangement made, he's made the arrangement. Having succeeded in his mission, the Gandharva left. Urvasi then prepared to meet Arjuna. She bathed and smeared her body with perfumed unguents. Dressing with layers of diaphanous silks, means very thin, you can kind of like see through, what's that called, sheer, like that. But many, many layers, you know, like that. So then, yeah. So it creates a very nice look. And also the silk, when it's that thin, hangs very nicely. The draping is very, very attractive. She adorned herself with jewels and gold ornaments, as well as fragrant garlands of brightly colored flowers. She was absorbed in thoughts of Arjuna, and her heart was pierced with Cupid's arrows. Inflamed by desire, She imagined herself lying with Krishna, Arjuna, on a soft white bed laid over with silk sheets. Set out in time, so they're on silk sheets, so they're not even, you know, Egyptian cotton's not enough, you know, here. They're heavenly planets. Setting out at a time when the moon began to rise. Right, so that means is that in the evening there, the moon comes up. Then evening is always kind of a nice time for emotions and these like that. The moon comes up, it's very beautiful. So then, you know, it's nice for seeing, going for walks in the garden, or, you know, it also, the mind becomes very, very focused and all that. For those who have a good mind is nicely situated. The thin waisted Urvasi went towards Arjuna's abode. As she walked, her long black braids, which she had decorated with bunches of flowers, swung around her beautiful white face. Because right, they'll always put these white bunches of flowers in your hair and like that. South, you see, they do a little bit as a thing just on the back, on the when they tie their hair, then just there. But here is how they put, and they use so many and all that. It's a very nice thing. It's something you see the Gandharvas especially use, because the Apsaras, they're the feminine counterparts of the Gandharvas. Her two finely tapering breasts, adorned with a string of diamonds and pearls and smeared with fragrant sandalwood paste, trembled as she walked gracefully through the gardens. Her high, round hips, covered with thin cloth and decked with golden chains, moved from side to side. The rows of golden bells around her ankles tinkled gently. Yeah, so the hips means you're going to have what you're wearing, the lower cloth, but then you're also going to have a belt piece, you know, so that they'll put a very nice bell piece on of another piece of cloth. It's very, very good, and it adorns and it brings out the curvature of the hips and everything. She defied the splendor of the full moon, right, because she went out with the full moon, so you see the two, then she'll look better, and was quite capable of breaking the vows of great ascetics. Right, means you see, she's the top of all of them, but you see the other, because there's five main apsaras, so she's the of the five, she's the head of the five, but they're considered the best. And then these, you see, they're sent down, Vishwamitra, I think Menaka with Vishwamitra, but you know, so they're very, 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 very beautiful, very attractive. Exhilarated by the little liquor she had drunk and full of desire, she cast glances from side to side and seemed even more alluring. Seeing her pass, the citizen Charanas considered her the finest sight in heaven. Right, because they'll just think, oh, she's just like the perfection of feminine beauty and all that. You know, in heaven. It means you go up higher than they have, there's more. She soon arrived at Arjuna's door and sent word to him through the doorkeeper. Arjuna immediately invited her into his house. He was anxious that the goddess had come to see him at night. Seeing her incomparable beauty, he closed his eyes out of modesty, right? Because she had dressed nicely to be for feminine attraction and everything like that. So then he's feeling a little modest. You know, she's the best. And so then she'll have done the most perfect job, as we see the citizen Charanas, you know, made the point. Arjuna worshipped her as if he were his superior and said, "O foremost of Apsaras, I bow down to you. What is your command? I am your servant." Hearing his words, Urvasi was overjoyed. Her voice rang out, you know, because then you see he's very, has that very, you know, mood. He wants to, you know, whatever it is, her command, whatever it is that they're doing, you know, like this, is that he's ready to, any activity to execute. And so then for the girl, then it's always nice that you have a boy who's you know, fully attentive to you know, her interests, her desires, her needs, and is willing to carry everything out. So from the opening, it sounds like this is, you know, moving in the right direction. Her voice rang out like tinkling bells. "Oh, best of men, I will tell you what brings me here. When you first came to heaven, a large assembly was convened during which we celebrated your arrival. All the gods and celestials were present, and you were seated by Shakra's side. You saw me then dancing in the midst of the chief Apsaras." Right? So the chief Apsaras means there's going to be her and the other four, as we mentioned, so the main five, and then whoever else is there, because they're going to have a hierarchy. You know, just as you have in the the men's world that you have, you know, according to position or status you have. So also in the feminine world, they have by whatever is their particular feminine prowess and all that. Your gaze rested upon me for some moments, and Indra noticed your attentions. Thus he has sent me here through Chitrasena. I have come to wait upon you, O hero. My heart is stolen by your virtues, and I am under the control of Kamadev. This is my wish. Let me possess you tonight. Right. So it's very clear what's going on. That's the thing you see with the devatas and that. Everything is so poetic, but everything is so clear. So that's one of the some of the qualities of how you say, you know, good writing or kavya, you know, the poetics like that, because everything was poetics. It's not that it had to rhyme. That's one aspect of poetics, but it's just each word is well thought out and everything. So fine words, fine you know, just how it's said. It's so sweetly said. It's so properly said, but it's so clear. There's clarity. And at the same time, as putting on the situation, it will have the proper enthusiasm and energy, right? Because it's considerate, it's clear, but it also something's to be done, because situations are to be applied to get an experience. So if you're not willing to apply, you don't get the experience. Or if you don't know, can apply means you don't know the situation or what can be obtained. So when these three are combined appropriately, you know, for the situation. And so then you're going to have, you know, something very, very proper. And so you can see here is that with all good qualities, they're saying these things very nicely and humbly and everything like that, because they only speak with good qualities. But they're very direct, very exact. They know the Shastras and that. So it's a unique element that's there in the Vedic culture that you don't necessarily see these days so much. Arjuna at once covered his ears in shame. O blessed lady, O most charming one, it is not proper for me to hear you speak such words. You are the wife of my superior. As the illustrious Kunti or the beautiful Sachi, Indra's consort, is to me, so too are you. O goddess, do not doubt what I say, O lady of sweet smiles. I did indeed gaze upon you, but not out of desire. There was quite another reason. So Arjuna is pointing out that no, because she is the wife, if we go right back, then Puru Ravas. She was the wife, and so Puru Ravas is in their line. So he's, you know, go back, you know, so many generations of kings that she's right there, and the king, the dynasty is coming down from her. So he's seeing her as like the great, 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 great grandmother. You know, like this, you know, the queen of their line. You know, just like he sees Yayati and Harishchandra and all these other great personalities, Dilipa, who is there, or Yadu. You know, it means all these great kings that are there, that they're all who, you know, these lines are coming down from. And so he reveres them like that. So seeing her, he's thinking, oh, wow, she's, you know, it's so fortunate he gets to see such people like that. Arjuna had heard of Urvasi while at home on the earth. Thousands of years previously, she had become Pururaba's wife, who is one of Arjuna's ancestors. It was her son who had been the forefather of Arjuna's dynasty, right? So then their son had been Kuru. So now they're known as the Kurus. Arjuna told Urvasi that he thus felt quite unable to make her his lover. O blessed one, when I gazed at you, I was simply amazed to see the mother of my dynasty. You should not entertain any other feeling for me than that of your son, right? Because that's going to be, is that where a son, grandson, great-grandson, you know, great-great-great-great-grandson, like this, it doesn't matter. The mood is the same, how you deal. Urvasi smiled. O son of Indra, we, and so she's thinking, okay, she smiled, that this is how he's looking at it. We're from the heavenly planets, we have a different view of these things. You know, because, you know, like you go, like you say 5 years, 5 years of Earth's time, but it's only 5 days in the heavenly planets. One day of theirs is 1 year for us, because the Uttarayana is the daytime, and the Dakshinayana is the nighttime. When the sun moves to the north, it's their daytime. When it moves to the south, it's their nighttime. And so he spent 5 days there. It's 5 years here for his brothers, like that. And so because of these different thoughts, they have a whole different way that they deal. Okay, so next we'll hear is what Urvasi's instructions are to Arjuna. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.